fundamental truth in the spiritual life is this. At times in our walk towards eternity, if it is best for us to become the saints we're called to be, God will manifest himself in extraordinary, supernatural ways. If it's best for us to become the saint we're called to be, God will do that for us. To give us the grace to persevere in our walk towards heaven, in our walk towards an eternity with his son, Jesus Christ. But the other fundamental truth in the spiritual life is this. After God reveals himself to us in extraordinary, supernatural ways, the devil will always mimic God, and he will then try to distract us by revealing himself and by manifesting himself in extraordinary, supernatural ways so as to distract us from the graces that God has revealed to us. This happened to me a while back. A while back, I went on this retreat in the mountains, and it was awesome. It was God and I, he and I alone, in the mountains, in the silence, and it was beautiful. It was powerful. It was recreating, in fact. And I remember coming off of that intimacy with God and getting back to the airport and getting ready to come back home so I could do my masses for the weekend. And then what happened in the airport? Right after I had this awesome time with God, it's full of grace, full of peace. I get to the airport and my flight gets delayed. And then my second flight gets delayed. Now, if I didn't have anywhere to be, that would be fine. But I'm a priest and I have to say mass for a community. So the fact that my flight is getting delayed, I'm starting to get kind of concerned because I'm in another country right now. Then the flight gets canceled. All right. So now it's canceled for the day. The next flight won't be till the next day. All right, so now I'm losing my mind. I'm getting anxious. What am I going to do? So I had to make a phone call to an elderly priest who already I knew was going to have to say four masses that weekend and say, hey, look, can you say a fifth mass for me? There's no way I'm getting back home to say my evening mass. He agreed to it. But then I felt bad about that. Like, man, I hope he doesn't die. I mean, he's old, right? And so I'm now worried about this priest and his health. And then I get back home late Sunday night. All right. He said my mass for me. I thanked him for that. Next day, I get back in the parish and it was just chaotic. I mean, it was absolutely chaos to the nth degree. All right. Everybody's filled with drama and there's just drama on staff. There's drama with parishioners. There's drama back at home. There was just drama. So much drama that I was getting distracted now. Right? From what God just revealed to me. I was already forgetting what God revealed to me in the silence on the mountains. God manifested himself to me in just this beautiful, extraordinary way in the mountains. But now the enemy was distracting me. I was becoming anxious. I was concerned. I was worried. All the things that the Lord says in the Bible we should not be, I was becoming because I was allowing the enemy to distract me because I was focusing my attention on all that the enemy was doing. This is not an isolated experience for me. This happened to Peter and James and John. In today's gospel, Jesus calls apart Peter, James, and John, and he invites them to journey with him to the top of the mountain, top of Mount Tabor. And as they get to the top of the mountain, what happens? Well, first, they experience what's called an apparition. An apparition is when an angel or a saint or Jesus himself appears to us, right? So that in the Old Testament, they had apparitions of angels. Mary experienced an apparition of the angel Gabriel in the New Testament. We experience apparitions of Mary today when she comes and tells us to pray to her son Jesus at Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe. But in the gospel today, Peter, James, and John, they experienced an apparition of Moses and Elijah, right? These two men from the Old Testament. Moses died however many years ago. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, so he's been dead for a very long time. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ allows Moses and Elijah to appear before Peter, James, and John. That is an extraordinary encounter of God's grace. God revealed himself in a supernatural way. Very powerful, okay? Then after that, it gets better. After that, they are now allowed to hear God the Father speak. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Speaking of Jesus. And this is my beloved Son. So now, not only do they see Old Testament figures, but they get to hear the Father's voice. It's amazing. It's a gift. Imagine what that did for them in their walk towards eternity. But what happened immediately after they experienced this consolation from the Lord? Well, if you keep reading the scriptures, it goes on to say, when they came down from the mountain, the first thing that happened immediately, the second they came down from the mountain, they encountered a man who was oppressed and possessed by a demon. So their attention goes from glorifying and praising and adoring the Lord to now being concerned about this person who is manifesting himself as a demon. Right? The devil totally possessed somebody. That's distracting. Now they're concerned. The other disciples who were down there ministering to this man, they weren't able to cast that demon out. Now they're starting to worry. What are we going to do? Right? The enemy saw that God did something powerful in their life, so he had to hurry up and mimic God and do something powerful as well. But this is not isolated, again, to the apostles. This happened to Jesus Christ himself. The first time that Jesus Christ heard the Father speak the words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," it was not, in fact, on Mount Tabor. The first time that Jesus Christ heard the Father speak those words was actually in the Jordan River when he went to get baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. He goes down to the Jordan. John the Baptist baptizes him. And what happens? The heavens open up. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. And the Father's voice is heard saying in front of everybody, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Powerful experience. Extraordinary experience of God's grace. Supernatural. And then what happens after God revealed himself in this awesome, extraordinary, supernatural way? Jesus Christ goes into the desert to pray and to fast. And who comes with him? The devil. The devil comes there, and what does the devil do? He starts to tempt Jesus with lies. With lies. But notice what Jesus does when he's tempted by Satan, when he's tempted by the devil. Jesus Christ doesn't dwell on that distraction from the enemy. He doesn't give any attention to the devil. Jesus Christ focuses his attention on the Word of God, the Word inscribed, the sacred scriptures. And he says, no, actually, the Lord says this. This is what the Word of God says. And then the devil came and tried to tempt him again. And what does he do? He focuses back. The Word of God says this. The devil comes again. Jesus Christ says, the Word of God says this. He completely immersed himself, not in the attacks and the lies and the distractions, the temptations from the enemy. He focused on the goodness of God as revealed in the sacred scriptures. He recalled and remembered and chose to dwell on God and what God had done and what God had said in the past. This choosing to dwell and to remember on the Word of God, that what God had done, what God had said, it's a Davidic thing to do, right? Jesus Christ comes from the lineage of David, King David, who before he was King David, he was the shepherd boy David. And when he was the shepherd boy David, he was in charge of protecting the sheep. And when the lions would come to attack the sheep, he would pray to God, and God would always provide a way for the sheep to be protected. When the bears came, he would pray to God, and God would always provide a way for the bears to be protected. And so then one day, while he's out there with the sheep, his people in his village are losing their mind. They're becoming very worried, very concerned, very anxious, because they're being distracted by an attack from this guy named Goliath. Goliath is terrorizing the people, and they're all losing their minds. But the Word of God says this about David, the little shepherd boy. It says, but David remembered. David remembered how God had come through in the past. And that remembrance gave him the courage to trust that, you know what? God's going to come through again in the way that is best for me and for my people and for my sheep. God will come through. Not the way that I necessarily want him to come through. Not the way I think he should come through. But the way that he needs to come through for our good, he will. And that gave David this grace to just trust in God and to persevere in a mission that God gave him to do in his lifetime. All because he simply remembered. Again, the devil will come into our lives to distract us. He will distract us. He will try to tempt us with lies and accusations and assaults so that we can take our eyes off of the goodness of God, so that we can be consumed with dwelling on what he's doing, the enemy, and then become anxious and fearful and concerned and worrisome. That is not the will of God. So what are we called to do then as disciples of Jesus Christ? Well, it's simple. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a person who imitates Jesus Christ. So we're called to imitate Jesus, who did not dwell on the attacks and the distractions, but chose to dwell on God's word by remembering what God had actually said. The same thing that David did, remembering what God actually has done in our lives. That's what we're called to do as well. Remember. So how do we practically remember so that when the attacks come, we can go back to the truth of what God has said and revealed to us? A practical way that we can remember the goodness of our Lord is simply through journaling, right? Getting a journal and writing down what God has spoken, what God has said, right? What God has done for us and our families in our lives in both ordinary and extraordinary ways. And sometimes we hear journal, and especially for guys, we think journal. Like, I don't want to get a diary and write, "Dear diary, today whatever happened." That is not journal. That's not for us to do, guys. If you do that, don't do that. No, right? But women, the Blessed Mother did diaries. That's right, Barney, you do a diary, don't you? Don't you have a diary? Yeah. See, she has a diary, right? So it's totally cool for y'all to do that. All right. So, but for guys, we don't do that. We journal. All right. So, journal down. What has God done? Like, what has God done in my life? What is God doing? Okay, how do I practically journal then? Well, when I go to a conference, like, so if you're like a man, we have the Men of the Cross Conference this upcoming weekend, which I expect you to be at, by the way. If you are a man in this church right now and you're 18 and older and you don't come to the Men of the Cross Conference on Saturday, you cannot receive communion at Mass today. I'm joking. No, I'm not. I'm very serious. I'm joking. So what do we do? So say we go to a conference. Say we go to a retreat. We go on a mission. What do? After the end of the retreat for that day, the end of the conference for that day, the end of the mission for that particular day, then pull out pen and paper and just simply write down what the experience was. What insights came, right? What was the movements of my heart? What was the movements of the Lord in my life for that mission, that pilgrimage, that conference, that retreat? After our consistent, intentional time of prayer that we set aside every single day for the Lord, get my pen and paper out and write down what the Lord has done. Or on a computer, type it up, what the Lord has done, and print it out, right? And just save it. So St. Teresa of Avila, she's a nun, a doctor of the church, one of our great mystics in the church's history. She would advise, though, when we journal, we should not journal during that time of prayer or during the conference, like while we're at it, while we're receiving, that we should always add like an extra 15 minutes to journal immediately after, right? Why would she say that? Well, because sometimes if God's given us a grace and then we begin to perceive that God's speaking to us through the word or through a song or through a person or whatever, we might want to initially just run away with that grace and call somebody, "Hey, guess what I just think I got in prayer today?" Or we might want to hurry up and write it down what we're getting in prayer. The problem with doing that during that time is, what if God wants to communicate more graces and we shut God off from communicating more graces because we immediately turn to writing them down? All right, so she would always say, wait. Professors know this. Like, teachers, sometimes when they teach a class, they always say, like, wait till after to write the notes down. Because when I'm talking, I want you to listen to me. Because if you're not looking at me, you're not doing what? You're not listening. And I want to make sure that you're hearing what I'm saying, and then you can write it down. But if you're writing down while I'm talking, you might not be able to grasp everything that I'm trying to give you right now. Same thing applies to God in prayer time, in conferences, and retreats, and missions. Let the Lord do his thing, and then just add an extra 15 minutes on to write down the graces of our Lord. So that when the attacks come, When the distractions come, and they will, and they will. When they come from the enemy, right, we can do what? We can orient our gaze back at the goodness of God. When Peter, James, and John came down from the mountain and saw the man who was possessed by the demon, they oriented their gaze towards Jesus. The other disciples were worried. They were anxious. They were losing their cool. But Peter, James, and John initially were kind of shaken up a bit. But then they reoriented their attention to Jesus and saw Jesus again come through and act as he freed the person who was possessed by the demon. When Jesus was being distracted by Satan in the desert, he reoriented his attention to the Word of God, the sacred scriptures. When David was distracted by Goliath, he reoriented his attention to his memory of what God had done in the past. And this is what we too are called to do, to remember what God has done so that we can dwell on what God has done. Because if we choose to dwell on what the enemy is doing, right, the distractions he's currently doing in our life, if we dwell on those distractions, if we give that all of our attention and that's what we think about throughout the day, what's the fruit of that going to be? It's going to be anxiety and worry, concern and frustration, etc., 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 not the will of God. But in the midst of the distractions that will come, that are probably already in our lives, if we choose to dwell on remembering what God has done and is doing, then it will give us the grace to be men and women who are filled with peace and joy in the midst of all the distractions, because the fruit of dwelling on God is peace and joy. And if we are people of peace and joy, that's attractive. Our neighbors, our family, our friends, our wider community will look at us and they will realize, I know you're going through a lot right now in your family, but yet you are so peaceful and joyful. Why are you so peaceful and joyful? We can point them to what practice we are doing right now, which is the practice of journaling down the graces of God and intentionally choosing to remember the graces of God every single day. Then they too can be invited to implement that in their walk towards eternity and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And they can become men and women who also choose to dwell on the goodness of God. Here's the thing. If we dwell on the goodness of God every single day, if we constantly, intentionally dwell on God in this life, then what we're doing is we're preparing ourselves to dwell on God for all eternity. Because when the scriptures speak about heaven, it says that the angels are dwelling on the face of God. The saints, they're looking at the face of God. We too are called to be saints in the kingdom of heaven. And so we can begin our heaven on earth right now and experience the peace that the saints experience in heaven on earth when we imitate those men and women who imitated Christ by dwelling on the goodness of God in our walk towards eternity. Remembrance will give us the grace to persevere and to persevere and become the saints that we are called to be.